Acts chapter 15, beginning with verse 36, and I thank you for standing in honor of the reading of God's word. Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they were doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. But Paul did not think it wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. God's word for us this morning. You may be seated. I think there is one thing true about every human encounter. The longer we are around each other, the greater the possibility and the likelihood is that we might begin to get on each other's nerves. Just ask any honest husband and wife if they always agree all the time. Just ask your coworkers if all the interactions at the factory, the office, or the warehouse are going well. Just ask anyone who is passionately involved in an endeavor if there aren't times when others who share the same passion for the same endeavor are difficult to get along with. Now, in our text today, apparently Paul and Barnabas had such a contention, or what the Bible calls a sharp disagreement. Take a look at verses 37 to 39. You can note there that John, or John Mark, whatever you want to call him, was Barnabas's cousin. And John Mark probably became convinced of the appropriateness of the Apostle Paul's new Gentile policy as it was approved by the Church Council of Jerusalem back in AD 49. In Acts chapter 15, you can read all the details about that church council. And indeed, at that church council, some people got on other people's nerves a little bit. Barnabas had evidently called John Mark back to the Syrian Antioch to minister to the different house churches in that city. And Barnabas's early involvement in the dispute of Antioch showed that his natural sympathies lay with the Jewish Christians, so that it was natural for Barnabas to want to take John Mark with him when they chose to revisit all those churches that Paul had established during his first missionary journey. But Paul, for what seemed to have been reasons of principle rather than personal ones, did not want to have an unreliable co-worker like John Mark with him again. Why? Because John Mark at one time deserted them, and Paul wanted somebody he could count on every day. Apparently, and we don't know all the reasons, Paul was not willing to give John Mark a second chance like Barnabas. Some of you know we have a Barnabas fund at this church. You know what the word Barnabas means? It means the encourager. And you see, Barnabas was willing to give John Mark that second chance. Some commentators have suggested that their disagreement may have been in part reflective on their differences in personality. I don't think any one of us in this room has exactly the same personality. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas, they were a little different. It seems that Paul was just driven by purpose and task. And Barnabas, by contrast, he seemed to be motivated more by his personal loyalty to people. One Bible commentator has suggested that this is a classic example of the perpetual problem that we face as to whether to place the interest of an individual or the work of the whole as first priority. In any case, according to the scriptures, the disagreement that Paul and Barnabas had left no room for compromise. Each one was fully convinced in his own mind. Neither was open to persuasion by the other. and their contention was so sharp, so difficult, that they agreed it was best to separate, go their separate ways. Apparently, the Apostle Paul had some scars. He had some wounds. Maybe the scar tissue of the wounds that Paul had suffered in establishing his inclusive missionary policy were still too tender for him to look favorably on John Mark being with them. Particularly, as some Bible commentators assume, John Mark was in some way responsible for some of the Jewish Christians criticizing Paul's ministry of inclusiveness to the Gentiles. The fact that Luke, the inspired author of the book of Acts, doesn't gloss over or omit this quarrel between Paul and Barnabas, I think, shows his honesty. And yet, far from letting this disagreement about personnel harm the outreach of the gospel, God providentially used it to double the missionary endeavor, with Barnabas taking John Mark and then returning to the island of Cyprus. It's very interesting, as you read through the rest of the book of Acts, you don't find any more information about Barnabas and John Mark's missionary work to Cyprus. But later on, Paul cordially refers to Barnabas in 1 Corinthians 9:6, and to John Mark, remember the one he didn't want to take with him? He cordially mentions him in Colossians 4:10, 2 Timothy 4:11, and in Philemon verse 24. Apparently, it took Paul and Barnabas some time to learn how to disagree agreeably. As I said earlier when I opened this message, it is impossible to agree with everyone all the time. And if you strive to get along with everyone all of the time, you can turn out to be a people pleaser without being a person of purpose. And obtaining the skills to disagree agreeably, this isn't something we learn in school, although we should maybe have a class, right? How to disagree agreeably. But once you learn these skills, this allows you to maintain a healthy sense of your personal identity. It also allows you to maintain a strong passion for the Lord's work. I want you to think a little bit about two words this morning: internal and external. Internal conflict resolution skills and external conflict resolution skills. These are both required if we're going to learn as people how to disagree agreeably. Because unless you solve a conflict internally inside first, it is extremely difficult to resolve conflict with other people without putting them on the defensive. And we know what happens then. Number one, create an inventory of hurt and disappointment caused by someone that you're having a contention with. You see, resolving a conflict internally requires a great deal of self-awareness. Sometimes we're not completely aware of the compilation, the sum total of all the daily events of life that hurt us, and yes, even disappoint us. We need to take time to identify specific events in our lives that produce painful emotions. And if we can learn how to define those events and be honest about them, this is crucial in first diffusing the internal conflict that many of us have. Second, review your personal inventory to determine whether you have a negative emotional theme. What am I talking about here? I believe the primary resource that Satan has at his disposal to disrupt the work of the Lord is human emotion. Satan will try to use our emotions to destroy relationships. Satan will try to use our human emotions to undermine the God-given worth that each one of us has. And when Satan is successful in his endeavor, what happens to individuals and their relationships? They become paralyzed. Now, some of us are pretty good about identifying what I like to call the cover emotions, such as anger, hurt, or frustration. But when we begin to peel back those cover emotions, then we can discover what the real core emotions are. What are some examples of core emotions, some of those emotions inside? They might be feelings of being unloved, insignificant, insecure, worthless, valueless, rejected, unappreciated, disrespected, or abandoned. When you feel these emotions, Satan wants to utilize these core emotions through daily interactions to paralyze our ability to serve the Lord and to paralyze our ability to work with others to glorify God. Third, it's important to define a godly perspective of yourself from the Bible. I think we as Christians, we have a lot of choices. And we can choose how we see ourselves. We can see ourselves as a product of our upbringing. We can see ourselves as a product of events. We can see ourselves as just a product of our emotions. Or we can choose to open the Bible and see ourselves from God's perspective. We don't have time to do it tonight. This morning. Okay? This afternoon, take some time. Read the first two chapters of the book of Ephesians. If you read the first two chapters of the book of Ephesians, you can start making a list of how God sees us in Christ as a way that begins to diffuse all those negative emotional messages that we encounter on a daily basis. Especially read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 to 8. Fourth, pray for the Holy Spirit to peel away the layers of pain so that the past hurts and the past disappointments can be diffused. I want to share with you this morning a prayer. And if you'd like a copy of the prayer, just say something to me after the message and I'll put it in your mailbox before next week. This is a prayer that's been suggested by Bill Wakefield, whose magazine article I've adapted for this message. Listen to this prayer about our emotions. Lord Jesus, you know the hurt this painful event caused in my life. You know that Satan is using this event to destroy my service to you. I cannot see myself as you see me in your word. Please let your Holy Spirit peel away the emotions that Satan intends for me and replace them with the truth of how you see me in the book of Ephesians. And Lord, I'll wait patiently for you to heal me in your time. Amen. Fifth, we need to pray for the forgiveness of others and that God can give us the power to forgive others who have caused us hurt and pain in our lives. You know, I think it's almost impossible to disagree agreeably if we have not first taken time to forgive others. God can give us the ability to forgive and love others if we diligently seek Him. And as God begins to heal us and grants us the power to forgive, we can move on in the Lord's strength to resolve those external conflicts that we have with other people. We can begin, when we've truly forgiven someone, to approach others with an attitude of love. And I'm going to add another word, and it's a word we don't see too much today. And that word is respect. Approach other people with respect. And if you can approach people with love and respect, this will lead to greater opportunities for people to disagree agreeably and have healthy disagreements. Now, I've talked a lot about the internal, right? Let's talk about the external. How do you resolve that external conflict with someone? Number one, Affirm the person who has hurt you. You know what affirmation does? Affirmation communicates respect and diffuses the defensiveness of the perceived offender. A simple, specific, and sincere statement of affirmation is all that's needed. If you communicate affirmation and appreciation to another person, that will go a long way to disarming the conflict. Number two, work at constructing a platform for dialogue or discussion. Ask the person if the topic of contention or the issue can be discussed. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, I'm afraid to ask. But here would be a way to go about this. Something occurred or was said yesterday, and I would like to better understand what happened or what was said. Can we talk about this? If you say those words and if you approach the person in a manner that communicates affirmation, appreciation, and respect, most people are happy to hear your thoughts and hear your feelings, and they will be willing to rectify those wrongs. Number three, on the externals, share your thoughts and feelings clearly. Focus on how the event made you feel and not focus on communicating the wrongdoing and condemnation of the other person. When you share your feelings about the event that hurt you, talk about one issue at a time. Because if you discuss multiple issues, you know what happens? That just leads into circular arguments that turn into blame sessions. He said, she said, she said, he said. And two people who continually find fault with each other about multiple issues, what happens, folks? They never resolve just one of those issues. Number four, accept that other people are not always going to agree with you. So what happens when you've done your best to resolve the contention that you have with someone and they don't even want to hear your point of view? You can rest secure in the knowledge that you've demonstrated integrity in loving that person and doing your best in how you honor them, honor God, and how you want to live and work with other people. We can't make anyone forgive us, can we? We can't make anybody say, I'm sorry, when they're not. You see, a God-given heart of peace has won over many a disagreeable person, and the same heart of peace has been an example to see other people come to know Christ. What if somebody thinks you are the offender? They view you as the offender. Be willing to listen to how you might have hurt someone and be willing to make changes in your behavior. Be willing to listen and honor the thoughts and the feelings of another. Please look again just for a moment at verses 40 and 41 of Acts chapter 15. Since Paul and Barnabas did not resolve their conflict, Paul selected Silas to join the missionary team. Silas had been a leader at the church at Jerusalem, and like Paul, could claim the privileges of even being a Roman citizen as needed in missionary work. Did you know this wasn't true of Barnabas? Some commentators also believe that Silas was fluent in the Greek language, which was the trade language of that time. And so this new missionary team of Paul and Silas was sent out with the blessing of the Antioch congregation to share that letter from Acts chapter 15 with the Jerusalem council and to revisit and to strengthen the churches that had been founded by Paul on his first missionary journey. I think we have several questions that we can ask ourselves this morning. How do we deal with contention? What does it mean to experience a sharp disagreement with someone just like Paul and Barnabas did? Remember, it took them years to learn how to disagree agreeably. And I believe that disagreeing agreeably is something that only the Holy Spirit can give us the power to do, because it's a spiritual matter. It doesn't come naturally. But following simple guidelines in order to function more effectively with others can empower us to walk more honestly, honorably, as we partner together in the Lord's work, peacefully, simply, and together with other imperfect human beings that are saved only by God's grace in Christ Jesus. We have a lot of things to celebrate this morning. And as we turn to number 99, as you stand, as we're singing about the gift of God's love, sweet peace, I would invite during the last verse our Crossnore work campers, along with their sponsors, Greg and Sharon Reese, to come forward here, and we're going to have a special time of prayer and dedication for them.